Hi, so the title of my presentation is Predictors of Help-Seeking Behavior Among Women Exposed to Violence in Nigeria, a Multi-Level Analysis to Evaluate the Impact of Both Individual and Contextual Factors. And I did this research as part of my doctoral degree at the Harvard School of Public Health. First, let me say that I have no relationships to disclose. And let me start a little bit by talking about the aims and the hypotheses. So a lot of the literature on violence against women looks at predictors of the violence, and less has been done on help-seeking, on what women might disclose, not disclose, and who formal, informal sources of help they go to. But also the research that is available on help-seeking has mostly relied on theories of psychosocial support, psychosocial theories, so they look at individual-level predictors, social, cultural predictors, interpersonal predictors. This approach, this study, was basically taking a very different approach. It's the social production of disease framework, which says that there might be structural factors or contextual factors for why women may not seek help. So basically saying, beyond me as an individual, my education, my race, my religion, what is my community like and that might prevent me from seeking help? So the first aim was basically to examine regional patterning of help-seeking. So if we saw no regional patterning, we could say that there is no contextual. It doesn't matter where you live. But if we find regional patterning, then at least it's an indication that something may be going on at the community level. And the second aim was to explore what some of these contextual characteristics may be in Nigeria, accounting for individual-level factors. So our hypothesis basically was that women in Nigeria who are exposed to violence, physical and sexual, living in communities that have more violence, more accepting norms, so sort of more support for spousal violence and lower development, would be less likely to seek help. Why Nigeria? First, it's the most populous country in Africa with over 140 million people. It also has a high prevalence of violence, so this question on help-seeking made sense. But more importantly, we viewed it as a case example for a good country to do multi-level modeling. So multi-level modeling, as I said, allows you to look at contextual variables as well as individual variables. And because it's a federal state with 36 different states plus a federalist capital, it means that each state has different legal frameworks. It has different social, historical kind of backgrounds. So basically, it makes sense to do a multi-level study when you have different laws, different communities, different structures at the state level. You can go into that in more in the questions if that doesn't make sense. So the data sources, I used the 2008 Demographic and Health Survey for Nigeria. For those of you not familiar with this survey, it happens in many different countries. It's nationally representative, and it's in this study with a two-stage cluster design sort of stratified sample. There were three different types of questionnaires: a household questionnaire, a women's questionnaire, and a men's questionnaire. As you see, women's questionnaire were women of the age of 15 to 49, and there were 33,000 women sampled. Men aged 15 to 59, 15,000 men sampled. The research is mostly from the module on domestic violence. This was basically an additional module that was administered to one randomly selected woman per household above the age of 15. So it includes women who are married, unmarried, formerly married, and it goes beyond domestic violence. I think they label it domestic violence, but it includes violence by people such as parents, teachers, in-laws, and other neighbors, and unknown people. So it's beyond domestic violence. And I also merged this data set with the UNDP Human Development Index. This is usually an index at the country level, but their Nigeria report in 2008 had HDI by state. So that was a state-level variable. So my measures. My outcome is help-seeking behavior. And let me actually read the full question because that might be useful. So at the end of this module, it had a series of questions of, you know, have you been ever hit, slapped, kicked, raped, etc. And actually, on spousal violence, they had emotional violence also, but because they didn't have it for the unmarried women, I only included physical and sexual violence since that would have kind of been difficult to interpret. So my analysis is only physical and sexual violence. But at the end of this module, they said, Thinking about what you yourself have experienced among the different things we have been talking about, have you ever tried to seek help to stop the person from doing this to you again? This question was asked only to people, to women who had reported physical or sexual violence, and a woman was considered to have sought help if she reported affirmatively to this question. So in terms of contextual covariates, we included four variables at the state level. So the first is the prevalence of violence of your state, the attitudes towards spousal violence in your state. The third is this human development index, which is a proxy for socioeconomic development. For those of you who don't know, the index is basically GDP per capita, life expectancy, and educational attainment. So it's kind of a proxy for development. And legal status. Nigeria is a mixed religious community, and the 12 states in the north follow Islamic law, so they have a different family law, which has implications for women's empowerment. In terms of individual covariates, I included, you know, all the typical sort of demographic, age, education, employment, religion, wealth, etc. But we also included two more specific to the study, which is witnessing the father perpetrate spousal violence and also personal attitudes towards spousal violence. And the attitudes question is basically, is it acceptable for a man to beat his wife if she burns the food, goes out without telling him, disobeys him in terms of children? So it was five questions. So this analysis is basically of the 5,553 married and unmarried women that reported that they had been victims of violence. So it's a subset. And it's a multi-level logistic regression. So this means that women are nested. So for those of you not familiar with it, I'll try and go slowly, but we can answer more. So you have women nested within PSUs. These are primary sampling units, and that's just, you know, they were actually selected randomly out of these sampling units that are not, they have no meaning, and from within states. So we have three levels: women nested within PSUs, nested within states. From an explanatory, or, you know, from an interest, from substantive interest, there's only two levels of interest: the state and the individual. The PSU we included in the model because of methodological issues. But there is clustering because that's how they identified. So you would expect some similarities among women in the PSU, but that's not any meaningful similarity. It's at the state where we think that the laws are being, you know, discussed and the norms are being discussed, and at the individual level, your characteristics. So we had three models. The first model only looked at individual level predictors, the second one only at contextual, and the third one, which was the full model, which is the one I'm going to discuss today, which is this idea of the multi-level, includes both the contextual variables and the individual. What this allows you to do when you have both at the same time is to say that we do find an area effect, and it's not only because this area is comprised of these individuals, therefore a compositional effect, but in addition to that, there's something going on at this other level, you know, the legal level, at the human development level, that has a direct impact, in addition to the individual level impact. So I actually find these descriptive sort of graphs quite interesting, so I want to take a little bit of time. What you see here is basically of the full sample, the 22,000 women. I said that 5,533 were exposed to physical and sexual violence. That's 24.7%. So if you got this number, that 24% of women in Nigeria are exposed to violence, you'd say, okay, that's interesting. What's more interesting, what I think here is more interesting, is the distribution by state. So each of these bars represents a different state, and the y-axis is the percent of women reporting violence. And you can see that the range is tremendous. In the lowest level, the state with the lowest amount of violence, less than 5% of the women reported violence. And the other end, in the highest level, you have over 80% of women reporting violence. So that's a clustering of the violence itself, which is tremendous. So if you were to do an intervention in Nigeria, you would want to know where to target your intervention, because the violence isn't 26% or 25% across the board. Some states have a lot more violence. So my question was help-seeking, and we found that 40% of women sought help. But again, help-seeking was patterned by the region, by the state that you lived in. And that was, as I mentioned, the first aim, to see if there is regional variation. So again, each bar is a different state, and the percentage is on the y-axis. So at the lowest level, you had only 12% of women reporting that they sought help to stop the violence, and at the highest level, 65% of women. So in some states, women were much, much more likely to seek help. In other states, much, much less likely to seek help. So the question is, why is this difference? Is it because the states have different types of women, or is it because something is going on at the state level, like the laws are different, or the norms are different, or something else that could explain this? And that's what multi-level allows us to do. So our results. If you look at the left-hand, I'm only showing my model 2 and model 3. Model 2, as I said, was only the contextual level effect. So if you look at the left-hand side, all of them are significant at that 0.05, saying that, you know, violence, attitudes, human development, and Sharia law has an impact whether you seek help or not. However, in the full model, which is the one which is of interest to us, on the right-hand side, we find that two variables remain significant once you account for the composition of the states. So the first one is, as we predicted, that the violence prevalence, the more violence you have in a state, the less likely a woman is to seek help. So for every 1 percentage point increase in the violence, you have the odds of a woman seeking help is 2% less. This sounds small, but as I mentioned, the range was from 5% to 80%. So it's pretty huge, the variation between the states. I think the standard deviation was 20 percentage points. So the 1 percentage point doesn't have a big impact, but the 20 percentage point does. Similarly, for the Human Development Index, we used a Z-score, which is basically the effect by standard deviation, and we find that a positive association. So the more developed a state is, the more likely a woman is to seek help. And that's at the odds ratio was 1.3. So that's kind of the take-home message. Now let's look a little bit at the individual characteristics, because that also is interesting. And what you see here, I had a whole list of individual factors that were included, but what you see here is only the things that were significant. What was not significant was, and I should read these out so I don't forget something. What was not significant was age, education level, religion, urban status, household size. So things that you might expect would impact health seeking, or things that people who create interventions sometimes think about, like, oh, we will target it to younger women, or, oh, we'll target it to women living in urban settings. But we find that these actually individual level characteristics had no impact. The ones that did, and I've included, the wealth one is actually counterintuitive, at least to us originally, is that women in the lowest wealth quintile were more likely than women in the highest wealth quintile to seek help. Employed women were more likely to seek help. That's actually consistent with the literature. History of parental spousal abuse positively associated with seeking help. And also if you were abused by multiple people as well as your husband usually versus only your husband, more likely to seek help. So this study has some limitations, obviously. It's cross-sectional, so some of the causal inference is difficult. Also, the operationalization of help seeking is somewhat limited because they were only asked, did you seek help to stop the person from doing it again? It wasn't, did you seek help to treat your medical needs? Did you seek help to get a divorce? Did you seek help? So it might be a bit limited what type of help we're talking about. We're talking about help to stop this violence from being perpetrated again. However, there are some really important strengths. First, it's a new field of inquiry, this idea of talking about contextual factors. This is the first paper that says that development, so the broader notion of, you know, economic, social development, could have implications on a woman's health-seeking behavior. Health-seeking is usually thought about as an individual decision, as is violence often. Violence is thought about as something that happens within the household and isn't impacted by the social, cultural, historical, and broader structural sort of implications. So by moving the discussion beyond what are the women's characteristics, you also help move the discussion from victim blaming of why are you not seeking help, you know, you're being abused, to what as we are we as a community doing to facilitate women in abusive relationships from seeking help. So it kind of shifts from the micro to the macro. And it also has important implications for IPV services because the finding that where you have most violence, you also have less help-seeking is important so that when you're going in, targeting your intervention in a place where there is a lot of violence, you also need to think that there might be more barriers for women to seek the help. And you know, we have to have more studies as to why those barriers are, and I'm looking for qualitative research and other people to kind of complement this research. Because some of the barriers, and this is kind of how I think about it, the two findings together, is that women will seek help when they think that there are resources available. So in a poorer community or a lower development community, maybe it makes sense for them not to seek help because their friends, their family, everybody else may not be able to serve them. Similarly, in a community where norms and where people are being victimized, you know, maybe they feel that they will not get the response they want. So, quick conclusion. We find that 40% of women do not seek help. 40% of women did seek help, which means 60% of women did not seek help in Nigeria. This is not a surprising finding. Studies from Egypt, from Sri Lanka, and from other places report similar sort of rates of help seeking, so less than 50% of women. And I think also in the developed world, you know, you have initiatives for medical professionals to screen because help seeking and disclosing of violence isn't something that happens automatically. However, this is the first study to talk about patterning at the state level, and the null results of some of the individual level predictors, in addition to these state level predictors, means that we should reevaluate what types of interventions we're doing. And just as a lot of interventions are being successful at preventing violence by thinking about community level interventions, maybe we should think about help seeking interventions that think about community level, you know, ways to get the community to support women to disclose and seek help. So different studies that are needed are to look at differences between married and unmarried women. We did find some interesting results there. I didn't go into those because they're a little bit harder to untangle, but unmarried women seem to have some additional barriers to seeking help, and actually your research is quite interesting with that. And then the types of help seeking should also be thought about a bit better because, you know, again, related to health outcomes, maybe what's most relevant is did you seek help from a medical professional, not to stop further violence, etc. So thank you. Thank you.